My name is Chris Yazzie. I'm Dene from Arizona, from a place called Denebito, but some people know it as Rocky Ridge. I came out here in 2003 when the school was accredited, and I've been living in the Bay Area, ironworking and working on bridges. But I came back full-time 14 months ago to help out the brothers. So a little brief history was that DQ sits on 640 acres, and the federal government, the U.S. government, used this land as an army base, an army communications base. So previously there was thousands of telephone poles on this 640 acres, some of them going up north to army bases and some going down south to the Air Force base. But this was the relay station. So a lot of commands went through here, you know, regarding the 50s and 60s. But after Alcatraz ended and the occupation ended at Alcatraz, then the people wanted an education facility, because that's what they wanted on Alcatraz also. But then they were looking at possible locations, and this place came up as a possible location. UC Berkeley originally had claim to this land because they wanted to use this place as a primate research place. So they're going to, you know, do animal testing here. But the leaders that started the American Indian Studies movements, they started envisioning an educational facility. But it was the young people, the Chicanos and Native Americans, which took it upon themselves to jump the fence that was around DQ and occupy the buildings here at the campus. So they did that. And, you know, for a couple months, they were in occupation mode. So their people were trying to get them out, and, you know, but they had support. They had the support through the community. Eventually, the political process of obtaining the land was complete, and they did have claimed this land. So a couple years went by that this place was a non-accredited educational facility. But in about 1976 is when the school gained its accreditation. And with accreditation, they were able to secure federal funds. But with the federal funds came federal guidelines. And through those federal guidelines, the university basically lost its sovereign control of its education. And through the federal guidelines, lines had to be made because of the status of federally recognized tribes and unfederally recognized tribes. The federal government wanted their money to go only to the federally recognized tribes. But since there are so many unfederally recognized people in America and in California, it wasn't right for that to happen in that way. But it did, in order to secure the funding. But years went on by, and then throughout the late 70s, early 80s, they had very important ceremonies out here. The Sundance. The Sundance was brought out here, and many people were able to gain a better grasp of their culture, of their heritage through that Sundance. And it changed a lot of people. And then, you know, classes continued through the 90s and then through 2000. But late into the 1990s is when allegations of fraud, embezzlement started surfacing. And it wasn't until the Board of Trustees began to actively work with OPEC is when red flags really started to come up. And so now more people started becoming aware of problems at DQ University when it came to the management. In 2004, the school lost its accreditation due to the mismanagement, due to unaccountability of funds, the funds that were donated or given from the Department of Education and other organizations. But then in 2004, the school lost its accreditation, but they didn't tell the students until the students in 2005 were all here going to school. So they tried to force the students to just leave, pack up your stuff and just get off campus. But the students, they were reluctant to leave because they wanted to know what was going on. So the students decided to stay, you know, occupying the dorms. And since they decided to stay, the board put bigger pressure from the police department through armed security, private security forces to try to intimidate the students out. They're actually carrying guns on campus. And since this place was a sacred place of ceremony, we're not even supposed to have that stuff here unless the tables are the other way, unless we're trying to protect and not them trying to get us out. That was in 2005, and for the past 3 years, we have been going through board changes. But through the board changes have been more infiltration of like bad people who just want to use DQ for profit. But that's not what DQ is, and that's not what the DQ student occupation philosophy is based on, because the student philosophy of the occupation is to reinstate the original visions of DQ, which is to unite the people in a common goal of empowering ourselves, North and South America, and to reinstitute the idea of autonomy and community self-reliance and self-sustainability, and also to bridge the struggles together, to see and to show that all these struggles are all connected. You know, this is an original agreement with the federal government in 1970, but it was that this land has to be used as a place of education. If it doesn't, then that's grounds for the federal government to take the land forcefully. So that's why we're going to stay here, to keep classes going and keep that education going, keep that momentum going. So that's what we've been doing here. And up until recently, about a year and a half ago, the police came and arrested students previously and tried to chase students away. But since then until now, it's been pretty peaceful, and the students have been able to organize classes in indigenous permaculture, alternative energy, and also keeping our traditions alive by having ceremonial sweats twice a week. But last week, the Board of Trustees, without having an official Board of Trustee meeting, without having a quorum or an official vote as a board action, just certain members of the Board of Trustees took it upon themselves to call the police, stating that we're trespassing when we had been living here for years already. So therefore, we had our tenant rights violated, criminal rights and civil rights violated. So that's what we're dealing with. And since they're calling us all trespassers, at this moment, you know, the police could come in and arrest us on trespassing. But because of that, this occupation has revived, and that, you know, that the students are not going to leave here, because we see ourselves as the caretakers of this land and the students of this land and the teachers. So, you know, the students within ourselves, we're not only just this young people students, but we're also the teachers and also the elders that teach us the old ways, the traditions. So it was Wednesday, February 20th, 2008, about 11:30 a.m., the Board of Trustees members showed up. But they're kind of just standing around their vehicles, kind of suspicious looking. And they've been standing around their vehicles for almost half an hour when we've realized that they're not going into their dorm. They're not going into the buildings, so they must be calling the police. So we had a plan. We got everybody coordinated in case the police comes. But yeah, and then the police did come. So we locked down the buildings, reinforced the doors so that they couldn't get broken in open. But since the police, I had previous encounters with the police on campus, and they knew I was a resident here. So I walked up to them thinking that, you know, that I could talk to them. But instead, they didn't want to talk. They just wanted to arrest us. So they literally gave us 5 minutes, and you're gone, or you're going to get arrested. But I told them I had been living here. I can't get my stuff in 5 minutes. But they didn't want to hear that. They said, well, you got 5 minutes. So, like, you know, I said, well, you know, I have my rights. I've been living here, so I'm not leaving. So I stayed. You know, a couple of us, we said we're not leaving. So a couple of us got arrested. So we got arrested, and we got taken to jail. And while we're in jail, the cops were still here, and their students were still here. And at that time, we started getting on the phone call. So the press started coming, and more of our supporters started coming here. So by the time we got taken in, there was about 40, 50 people here. And then, you know, the cops probably started feeling the pressure that they did something wrong. So they, you know, tried to hurry up and rush it and to leave. So they left with 40, 50 people still here, but they took 3 of us here. And then as soon as the cops left the board, they were facing the public, the community. So they quickly got up and left and followed the police out. So basically, once they left, the students and community basically walked back onto campus. And when we were in jail, we were, like, you know, stripped of, like, a lot of our clothes. And we had to sit in, like, you know, in a cold room. And we got separated, so we couldn't communicate to each other. So I got separated from 2 of the guys. And they got put into a tank, like a drunk tank or a holding facility, which had feces, blood, and urine. It's everywhere in that place. And it was, like, you know, and it stunk, and it was very bad. And the time we're there, the police were trying to intimidate us by saying, oh, I don't know if you guys will get released today. When initially we got promised that we were only going to get booked, take our picture and released, that we were going to be released in an hour. But here we ended up staying 7 to 8 hours. But as soon as we got released, you know, we heard that people came back here. So we're like, well, let's go back to DQ. And when we got back here to DQ, you know, we had a lot of supporters. And then, you know, we had the sweat ceremony, because, you know, that's why a lot of people were there that Wednesday, was because on Wednesdays is when we have our sweat lodge ceremonies. So that's why we feel that, you know, our religious freedoms were also violated on that day. Next Saturday, we're organizing a a huge community meeting, because like for the past couple of years, a lot of the community, because of the board, they've been getting kind of pushed out. But we're organizing a meeting to where we can try to, we're going to try to bring tribal leaders, community leaders, you know, youth leaders, elders, to try to get rid of a lot of the misconceptions and basically the rumors, and try to get down to the bottom line of what's going on and the problems here, and how people can start coming together to revitalize this school as a community. Because for a long time, the community, they felt like used and kind of ashamed of this place because, you know, this place was being taken advantage of. But we're trying to create an environment to where they can have pride for having an indigenous school in their community. But we're going to start locally, just within Sacramento, the Bay Area, as a foundation to slowly start bringing it into a more national and international